Hello and welcome back to the Book Marketing Tips and Author Success Podcast. This is Penny Sansevieri with Amy Cornell. And today we are talking about trade magazines, getting into trade publications. And I love this topic because it's really, I don't even think we've done a show on this yet, Amy, have we?
I don't think so.
Yeah. And it's a great and extremely overlooked opportunity for authors to get additional publicity. And I'm going to tell you right now, I'm about to blow your mind. So there is, if you have a hobby or you have a job or you have, you know, whatever is going on, there is probably a magazine that serves your market, right? Even for people like, if you have, and trade magazines by definition is for a trade. So you're an electrician or you're a plumber or you're a fisherman or whatever, everything from being a fisherman to a farmer. If you're in the wedding business, everything, absolutely everything in between. And this dawned on me because Amy last year gave me a subscription, which I loved, to Birds and Blooms, which is a magazine you've probably never heard of, but you should absolutely subscribe to if you love gardening at all. It's fabulous. And it technically, if you search gardening and trade journals, this magazine comes up.
I love that.
Yeah. I mean, Amy, you're familiar with trade. I mean, trade journals is kind of a funny term, but trade magazines.
Yeah. I mean, I think a lot of times it gets, when people hear trade, they think it has to be a very specific, serious industry. Now I'm putting on my serious industry voice, apparently. But, you know, it's really, if you write about a certain topic, you have a following, you know what I mean? And there are already a lot of publications, both in print and online, that are catering to your target buyer market. And so what we're really talking about is getting in front of those people, right? I mean, these publications and these organizations have already figured out how to put out the kind of content that your people are looking for. So getting connected with those places and those networks could be an absolute goldmine.
Yeah. So, you know, when we talk about like media, right, we talk about the three tiers of media. So the national media is the stuff that authors always think about. They always think about like the Today Show and Good Morning America and whatever, right? The second tier is your local media. We've done a show on local media. We love local media. But the third tier, the trade media, nobody ever talks about. And it's really a shame because there are so many publications that are specific to your market that are very, very, very hungry for content. And let me give you an example. So a wedding magazine, by definition, could potentially be considered a trade magazine. Although it does, you know, there's the line, right? I know people who are in the wedding industry who religiously read all the wedding magazines that are out there because it's part of their trade, but it also appeals to consumers. Now, the issue with wedding magazines in particular is that when you think about the content that a wedding magazine can cover, they're really limited to like food, flowers, dresses, honeymoons. Like they're very limited, right? Like, so it's not like they can talk about, let's do an issue on organizing your closet because nobody getting ready for their wedding is going to care about that. However, you can get really creative. I actually had a psychic who did, so picking the right flowers according to your star sign, right? And she got a blurb on the cover of the magazine, and then she got a whole article inside. And she did very, very well with that. So you can also get really creative with these things because they're usually very hungry for content. Mm-hmm. They're hungry for stories. Make sure that you're, you know, and go online, go into Google and just look up like sewing magazines or quilting magazines or crafting magazines, whatever. You will be blown away. And some of these are regional. Like, so I want to say Southern Home, but that's not really the right one. But there are magazines, I would say maybe like Southern Home, that have a larger appeal in particular areas of the country, but that doesn't really matter, right? If you can get your book, your topic to tie into that audience somehow, I mean, it's a great win. And the thing that I really love about trade magazines is 100% of that audience is your market.
Right. That's what I'm thinking this whole time too, Penny, to your really big examples that you gave at the beginning. I mean, the chances, your percentage of finding and getting in front of your target buyer market on a really big, you know, show or publication that is not, you know what I mean? It's so slim because everything has an expiration date too. And some of them are very quick, but spending your time focused on trade publications that, like you just said, everybody that gets that is in your target market and you're already that many steps closer to making that sale. And I think you made a really good point about the psychic as well. When you're pitching these places, keep in mind that because their topic in, you know, or topics that they cover are so specific and repetitive, it's really an opportunity to be very creative, right? Because like you said, Penny, they're always hungry for content, but they're going to be especially hungry for a new angle on something.
Yeah.
Because again, it's challenging in an industry where, you know, like birds and blooms, it's like, okay, yes, there are a lot of different kinds of birds out there. And yes, there are a couple different planting seasons. But again, I'm sure it is challenging for them to ensure they're always putting out content that their readers don't feel like they've read 10 times before, you know? That, and so coming at it with a very unique angle, maybe you are not, maybe you didn't write a gardening or bird book, but you know those people would love what you've written. Find that creative angle to pitch that magazine, you know, and make sure they understand like they would love this because of X, Y, and Z. And you're going to be surprised at the positive responses you get from that.
Yeah, absolutely. And this isn't just, you know, this isn't just isolated to nonfiction authors. So if you wrote so we had an author who, and this actually may even be before Amy started. So this goes back quite a ways, but her book was set in a coal mining town. And we actually pitched this to coal mining newsletters and publications, believe it or not, there are. And at least at that time, I think there are still some magazines, and they actually loved it because there were long family lineage of coal miners, et cetera. And it was a fiction story. So you also have to think about how fun this is for people like quilters or, you know, vegan magazines or sewing magazines or whatever to read about a character who is, you know, a quilter in their industry or something like that, right?
Yeah, the representation. Like, have you done your research? Have you represented those group of people in a light that they would find interesting, entertaining, thought-provoking? You know, that is absolutely a cool angle to pitch.
Well, and because we did not work with this author specifically, but I remember at a writer's conference a number of years ago, I talked to an author and she had a cozy mystery series and the lead character in the cozy mystery was a quilter, right? So and she's like, do you think I should try to pitch quilting magazines? Cause I don't really know if they're going to care. They loved it. They loved this lead character who was a quilter. She was all about quilting and she solved these mysteries and it was a really cute, they were cute series of stories and she got some placement and she sold quite a few books. So it's worth looking into this and, you know, subscribe to the magazines. Most of these, obviously you can get online. In some cases, you're going to find some of these magazines or even in the UK, because if you do a quick search like of sewing magazines or gardening magazines or things like that, you're going to find that some of these are going to be overseas, and that's okay. I mean, as long as they can get your book. So obviously, it would be nice to get a big spread in maybe a UK sewing magazine or something. But if nobody can get your book in England, then there's no point. So, but there is a whole world out there of trade specific, hobby specific, and the hobby magazines are crazy how niche that they get. Like, I would be hard pressed to not find something, if you're a particular hobbyist, to not find something that appeals to your exact topic or the, you know, the theme of your book or something like that.
Yeah, that's, I'm just thinking back on our last few episodes, and we're really tapping into getting creative. And I think, you know, that's another theme for the coming year, you know, because a lot of people can hammer out marketing strategies that are very turnkey. But I think these creative elements are going to be what sets authors apart from the competition going forward.
Well, but I also think that it's something that, you know, I mean, it's a less obvious, but equally as effective way to get your book out there, to get out in front of an audience. And if you talk to somebody, you know, I mean, look, I get it. Like, I was in Quilting Monthly. Like, if you say that to a crowd of people, they're going to be like, oh, okay. But if that exposure in Quilting Monthly sold you 5,000 books, who really cares that nobody really recognizes the publication? So, you know, I think the idea has always been, well, you know, it's impressive to be in a name, like, I want to be in Good Housekeeping, or I want to be on, you know, National Morning Show or something like that. But the thing about it is, too, is that if you're building your media empire, if you are at the start, or maybe you're in the middle of your writing career, media likes media. So the more that you can keep building your media repertoire of places that you've been featured, the more attention that you may get from some of these bigger national outlets. So it's not just about, hey, I'm just going to give up on national and I'm going to go for some of these narrow niche places. The other reason that this is worth considering too is that, you know, I mean, and we have an influencer on our team who does a lot of our influencer blogger, bookstagrammer pitching, and she'll be the first one to tell you there's a lot of competition out there. There's a lot of, you know, and so you're competing for, you know, all of these other spots, and these bloggers and bookstagrammers have limited spots often. And right. This is just
one of 100 books they got pitched that week.
Yeah, this is just another great, this is another really great opportunity to get out there. But just start, you know, maybe you're already doing it, or maybe you're listening to this on your phone and you're already doing it. Search like trade magazines. I mean, you can get crazy with this. You can search drink magazines, construction magazine. I mean, it's the craziest thing. This is just going to blow. I'm telling you right now, it's going to blow your mind, because there are so many magazines and so many opportunities for you to get seen that you may not have considered. So I hope that this has opened up some, I hope that this has opened your eyes to some new opportunities for, you know, in the new year. Certainly we are going to focus on even more ways to get creative as we continue to unpack some new shows, but definitely trade magazines. We try to include them for our authors whenever we can, because there is some gold in those magazines for sure. Amy, this was a great podcast. I'm so glad we did the topic of trade magazines.
I know. Apparently it was long overdue. I love when we come up with something that's entirely brand new.
I know, right? I know it. Well, and thank you all so much for listening. And if this is your first time listening, welcome to the show. We're so glad to have you here. We love show ideas. As we've said, our details on how to reach us is as always in the show notes. We love reviews wherever you listen to podcasts. We're always checking reviews like a couple of stock market junkies. Thank you so much for listening. This is Penny Sansevieri and Amy Cornell, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.